Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Time Podcast. We are on episode 7, and this is the final episode in our mini prayer series. And today we're going to be really just addressing some questions that you guys have. We're not claiming to be experts, and we really want this time to just be a humble dialogue where we're pointing each other to the Word of God and to the author of that Word. And so before we get started, Caitlin's going to share with us a little bit of a prayer model, a prayer paradigm that is really practical and helpful in our prayer journeys. And then we'll dive into some questions and end with some testimony. So go ahead, Caitlin.
Thanks, Katie. Yeah, I'm excited to share this model with you. There's a real power in being proactive rather than reactive when it comes to the kingdom of God coming from heaven to earth. And so I just want to give you this model. It's called proactive. So if you write it down like an acrostic, top to bottom, you can follow along. So the P for pro is pattern. And so you want to establish a daily rhythm. When are you seeking the Lord? Try to keep it consistent. I know that might sound legalistic, but when you do something at the same time every day, you're naturally going to crave it and you're going to miss it if you don't get to do it. And so you can pick what that looks like. Obviously, it's changeable, but try to be consistent with that. So we've got the P, so then we move to the R, so then you read. So don't just sit there, like sit in silence, sure, but you have to read the Bible in order to get to know the Lord. And so make sure you're reading scripture. And as you're reading, you move to the O, which is observation. So what are you reading? Who is God? Who's human? What did you like? What was encouraging? What was discouraging? What was confusing? How can you apply it? That sort of thing. So that's the pro. So then you move into active. So it's kind of like from this pattern and reading and observation, you can move into adoration of who God is. I'll often just cry out, holy, holy, holy. Sometimes I'll go to Isaiah 25 and 26 and just praise him along with what the Israelites would have been doing. There's multiple ways to do that. So the A is adoration. So then the C is confession. So that's where you can ask the Lord, would you just examine my heart? And whatever is unclean in me, would you show me so I can repent of it? And then you can also repent of the things that you're not even aware of. So we have P-R-O-A-C, and the T is thanksgiving. So we can thank God for who he is, thank him for what he has done. There's a real power in giving thanks. I love what Katie said the other day. She was like, you know, we believe in the power of prayer, but do we believe in the power of praise? And thanksgiving is an act of praise. Mm-hmm. That's probably something that we'll sneak in a longer discussion, another episode. So we have P-R-O-A-C-T. I is intercession. So intercession is simplified, is standing in the gap. So that's saying, God, here's this situation, here's this person. Let's say it's a lost family member. I'm asking you to intervene in this situation and draw them to you. So you're standing in the gap and interceding. So let's see, what's the next letter? C-T-I. V, we got V. Sorry, you guys, I can't do my ABCs. So V is vanquishing the enemy. And so that's like spiritual warfare. So that's just basically saying, like, if there's any lies that you're believing, you can replace it with truth. If there's anybody that you know that's believing lies, you can say, no, that's not true. Here's the word of truth. And so it's kind of like an exchange, basically. And then the E is the last part, and that's extreme prayer. You might be like, what does that mean? Like, I'm not even in the minor leagues. Like, what's extreme prayer? We gave you that book a couple episodes ago. But basically, it means praying faith-filled, unified group prayers offered in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And he promises to answer those with unlimited power. You guys can check out John 14, 12 to 14 to learn more about that. So yeah, that's just a really practical prayer model. I use this all the time, and it really has helped me just establish a hunger and desire to be intimate with God every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. And maybe what I'll do is I'll create some sort of template that we can share with anyone that reaches out and would like to have a copy of that. That way you can print it off, have a copy above your desk in your Bible, just to help you get started. And eventually, like Caitlin said, As you develop that pattern, you'll memorize it. It'll become just part of your rhythm and your routine. Another thing I do want to speak to on that is habit stacking. This is, I think, is that James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, where he talks about this concept where you're bunching your habits together. So for example, you know, when I was in college, I was kind of a 6 a.m. wake up person. And so I would make my coffee and I would get my Bible and my journal, and I would sit at the same spot in my desk and I would do my quiet time, and then I would review my calendar for the day. And so I'm lumping these things together in a habit stack. It's the same thing that you can do with your quiet time. Put a basket or your Bible or whatever by your chair or your desk and do the same thing. Brew your hot beverage, go to that place, pull out your proactive prayer template, your journal, and just stack those habits together to help form that pattern. It's really hard to do over time as life gets busy. You know, some of you are college students, some of you are busy parents, some of you are in transition in your careers and figuring all those types of things out. It's really hard to maintain these patterns and these spiritual rhythms. But if you can start now and build those things now, 10 years down the road, in the midst of all of life's twists and turns, you'll have maintained this rhythm of rest and rejuvenation with the Lord, which is the ultimate goal. So that's kind of my personal pro tip in that regard, and something I need to preach to myself all the time because I'm not currently doing great, but there's grace and the Lord is stirring in me a renewed desire to get back at it. So,
amen.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into some questions. Man, I think let's go ahead and start with this first one. Since we're on this topic, are there any rhythms of prayer that you think are helpful, like liturgy, practices, things like that?
Yeah, I think that's a super good question. Obviously, the easy answer is that it depends on who you are and how your personality is and all that stuff. Another tool that I like to use is called the wheel. You guys can just Google that, but it takes you through kind of what we were talking about in a proactive model. I love praying through the Lord's Prayer and thinking about, like, what does that really mean? I love praying through scripture. I don't know if you guys have done that before, but it's just kind of like reading through it. And, you know, maybe it says, like Psalm 121, I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can turn that into a prayer and you can be like, God, help me to look up to you because you're my helper. So I thank you that you're there for me. You know, you can kind of pray through scripture that way. That's probably my favorite thing to do. Katie, what about you?
Yeah, mine is kind of more along the lines of some resources to couple with your scripture reading and your prayer time. One of my favorite resources of all time is called The Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent. I'll link it in the show notes. But he basically, the whole thesis of the book is rehearse the gospel to yourself daily. And so he maps out the gospel in prose form, broken into 30 days. So you can read it. Read one a day throughout the month. Then he also does a poetic form, which is just really beautiful to just read the gospel in that way. I've probably read it at least 10 times since someone recommended it to me. And so it's very well worn and it's got so many underlines and highlights. And it's just a beautiful way to be reminded of the gospel that has saved me. Another thing that I really love, and I haven't pulled this out in a while, but a former teacher of mine sent this to me in college. It's called Morning Thoughts by Octavius Winslow. And he is just, he does a lot of like devotional writings. These are, I think there's 365 of them. It's very liturgical in how it reads. And I find that that's very centering for me. Just to kind of go back into some of that high church language. Really centers me in my thoughts and in how I process scripture. And so that book is really great. I'll try to find it online and link it as well. And then one final resource, as far as kind of liturgies go, Every Moment Holy, I think there's three volumes at this point. They're just books of liturgies, but not, they're liturgies for the everyday person. And so I think he even has one, you know, a liturgy for the baking of bread, or a liturgy for hospitality, or a liturgy for kids' nap times. You know, he really goes into a lot of really beautiful practical things, and the artwork is just beautiful. The illustrations inside are beautiful. And so these are just some great companions, especially when you're feeling stuck and you're feeling, you know, kind of like you have prayer block. These are great things to just read and center yourself back on communing with the Lord.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Katie, I'm going to ask you this next one. So I had one person ask me, you know, the Bible says through the Apostle Paul that we're to pray without ceasing. He says it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And someone was asking, how do you do that when we're busy people?
Yeah. The short answer is just do it. as a recovering legalist, I feel like I started to swing the pendulum, because once I had started to grasp this idea of grace and that, oh my word, I'm not going to be struck by lightning if I don't read my Bible, or pray. And so I started almost using that as license to go days and weeks without being in the Word and in prayer. And so I think this question goes back to our proactive model, developing a pattern. Some people have, I guess maybe it's triggers that kind of spur them to prayer. My mother-in-law shared this with me, where she doesn't turn on the radio in her car until she's prayed. The president of my alma mater says, no Bible, no breakfast. And so you can come up with these taglines, these ideas, for your own life. And so, you know, I've been trying to figure out, you know, what are the rhythms? What are the best ways for me to incorporate prayer into my day? For me, I have found that, like, intentionally leaving silence in my life is really important, because if I'm not in a work meeting, if I don't have a child hanging on my leg, if I'm not hanging out with my husband or friends, I'm typically filling that void with, you know, Netflix or Spotify, right? And so finding those intentional margins of silence and filling those with prayer instead of noise. I think really you just got to start small, baby steps. So try driving somewhere without music and praying instead. Do your workout without listening and speaking instead to the Lord. It doesn't have to be the same all the time. It's about small, faithful steps and growing in your intimacy with the Lord. And the reality is that the more you are seeking the Lord, the more he can be found. And the more your heart is going to long for that. And so the more you are diving into the Word and the more time that you are dedicating to prayer, like Caitlin said, you're going to crave it. And so start small and let the Holy Spirit guide that and build that up in you.
Yeah, that's really good. I just want to kind of just add one thing to that. Katie is so good at giving practicals. I think one, like, just foundational thing to remember is that praying is really, we could define it as communing with God. And so you do that all the time because he lives inside of you. That's my public service announcement for this episode, is he's in your body. And so you can invite him into anything that you're doing. Oftentimes before I meet with people, I'll pray and I'll just be like, okay, Holy Spirit, like, would you speak through me?
Right.
And then I can become aware of these cues, you know, and there's a picture come to mind, scripture, you know, the things that we talked about in episode 3. So,
right.
Yeah, really good.
That's great. Practicals. Well, Caitlin, I have a question for you now. Does prayer change God's mind?
I feel like this is the ultimate question.
It's like, so good. Because, like, if we really believe that prayer changes things and has an impact, because that's what answered prayer is, how does that correlate with the fact that God's unchanging?
Yeah, that's so good. So This is not an episode about the sovereignty of God, and that's a huge discussion. But one thing that I have learned through reading various passages is that God has a will, right? It's to know him and make him known. And he has these desires and he has these promises, and he's the one that generated all of these. And so ultimately God is responsible for fulfilling his own desires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yeah. if you have a desire, you're responsible for fulfilling it, not somebody else.
Right.
And so he's sovereign. So his desires will be fulfilled because he's the unchanging word of God. And so he said it, so he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The variable factor in this is, are we going to partner? Are we not going to partner? And to what degree are we going to partner?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really what the question is. And so, yeah, he's completely sovereign. But do you want to get involved or do you not? And
right.
I think that's one of the things with prayer is there's a danger in praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you will get more revelation and you are responsible for the revelation that you receive.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor preached that the other week and I was like, oh my gosh, okay. but it's so beautiful at the same time. And so all of that being said, prayer, when you're praying in alignment with knowing God and making him known, will always be unto accomplishing his will.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this passage of scripture because prayer does change the way that God's will is accomplished.
Mm.
So that's a bold statement, but it's true. Mm. So in Matthew 24, again, this is not a podcast on the end times either, but we're going to start it here. Jesus is talking, and in verse 19 of chapter 24, he says, "How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." And this is in the middle of him talking about the abomination of desolation from the book of Daniel and kind of how things are going to unfold. But did you catch that? He said, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or the Sabbath.
Mm.
And so he's inviting the people to pray, and he's going to change the time scale accordingly.
Hmm. I've never thought about that.
I think that's super powerful. I think the other example that some listeners might be a little bit more familiar with is in Exodus 32. There's the golden calf that happens. Moses is on the mountain, Aaron's with the people. They build this statue and start worshiping it because Moses, quote unquote, took too long with God on the mountain.
Right.
And so what happens is God is angry. Like, you can read about it. He is so mad. Mm-hmm. And he's so mad that he wants to destroy all the people. He's like, leave me alone so that I can be angry and like smite the people, basically, is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And Moses comes to him as a friend because he's one who prays. That's how you become friends with God. And he's like, no, like, these are your people. You have to remember your word.
Mm-hmm.
God's like, okay, fine. I won't destroy them. And he makes this covenant, if you keep reading into chapter 34, and it's pretty incredible. And so obviously Moses in that moment was able to remind God of what his promise was so that he wouldn't destroy the people.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Hmm. I was just thinking of 1 John 5:14, that this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I love your statement about how prayer is not changing the will of God, but it can impact how the will of God is accomplished. I love that. I love that.
I think that's like, if we could pick out one thing, I think that's like the thing to really focus on, because what's happening when I'm praying is, you know, I have a heart for a certain people group in the world. And when I pray for those people, I'm essentially saying, God, use me to accomplish what I'm praying. And so use Katie for that purpose, but she's praying for something else because he's put that on her heart. And so it's changing who's involved and it's changing the time scale, but the will of God is not changing in that.
Right. Exactly. I love that so much. Awesome. What about another question?
Yeah, let's see. We have some like really good questions this week. I'd love for you to speak to this question. Why does it seem like some people are good at prayer while others are not? Mm. Along that vein, why can't I be better at praying?
I think the operative word to kind of pull out of this is good, because that implies a performance scale. And prayer is not measured by whether we're good or bad at it. It's not measured at all. Prayer is about intimacy and relationship and faithfulness. But in the context of the question, I think I get what this person is asking is, you know, why does it seem like some people just connect and can just pray beautiful liturgical type prayers? Some of it's personality. We've talked about that a little bit, how God speaks to us in different ways. We speak to God in different ways. You know, I'm a words person. I'm a journaler naturally. I love writing. And when you read my journals, they read like liturgies, because that's my style. You know, you read scripture and every book has a different style. Every psalm is different. And so I think that's a lot of it too, is just personality. It's not better or worse. It's just how God's made you to be. Some people I know don't really enjoy praying with their words, but they'll pray through art and drawing and painting. If you've ever seen anyone do like a live painting during a worship service or a prayer time, it's absolutely stunning and I could never do it, but it is so beautiful to see them express their heart to the Lord through that. And so I would encourage, you know, whoever asked this question and to all of you as well, is that don't be measuring your prayer life according to standards that God himself has not even given you.
Ooh, that's good.
You're comparing your prayer life to others, much like the Pharisees were. And that's not at the heart of it. Your prayer life will be so much richer and sweeter if you are content to bloom where God's planted you and to use what God has gifted you. Mm. That's what I would say to that. Caitlin, do you have any comments?
Yeah, that's really good. I think a lot of people have actually often asked me, and this is not to brag, this is just practical, but they've often asked me, like, how do you pray that way? And I'm like, I'm just praying the word of God. And sometimes I'm praying it with my eyes closed because I know a few verses of something. And sometimes I'm like, we have a Bible, let's just open it and right. say it. Because, right. you know, God's word won't return void. And so there's a lot of power in reading the word and turning it into prayer, like I said earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, Caitlin, here's a question for you. And we haven't assigned these questions to each other. We're just kind of softballing them over. But somebody asked, you know, I wonder why every time we're doing church or Bible study and we ask someone to pray, it's silent. Why are Christians afraid to pray?
Because we think it's performance and not a precious privilege.
Mm. Yeah.
That it's simple as that. I think the secondary answer, well, really the root of that is the fear of man versus mm-hmm. the fear of the Lord.
Yep.
And I think if I can be just really like kind of double-edged sword for a second, I think it's because we get found out that we're not as intimate with God as we want to be.
Mm.
And I know that's a really strong statement. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you're not feeling it sometimes, that it's not a good prayer. But I think there's like a lot of legitimacy in that.
Yeah.
Because what we do in the secret place is what we bring to the corporate place. And I'm talking to you as a friend, but it's really true.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been thinking about this, like there's a lot of places in the world where there's Christians and they have extreme, you know, persecution where they're at and they can't actually gather and pray out loud. And here in America where we can, like, why don't we take advantage of that? That's really, it's such a gift that we don't even think about. And so, you know, you might be going, well, Caitlin, like I'm still like new at praying, like I'm still fumbling over my words. And I would say to you, like, I do that too. But the way that I've been able to practice prayer is I just do it And it might be like the simplest statement. I might be in a room full of people and they're like praying these, you know, liturgical prayers like Katie was talking about. And I might be like, Father, I thank you that you're a good father. And that might be all I say. And I do that all the time, you know, and that's still pleasing to the Lord. You know, I'm still praying truth. He's still pleased with that. But there is something to be said about what you do in the secret place is what you bring to the corporate place.
And we modeled a little bit of a prayer paradigm in the last episode with the A to Z prayer. That is a great tool if you're in a small group that is feeling kind of stuck in praying together, because then the commitment level from each person is just a phrase about God's character. And again, it's not about perfection, it's about practice. And so I would definitely encourage you guys, one, practice that in the secret place, like Caitlin said, but then be bold enough and have the courage to come to your group that you want to grow in intimacy with, come to them and say, listen, guys, like, I really think we need to practice praying together and bring this paradigm and just see what God does with it. God can do a lot with willing hearts. And so showing up is the first step.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. So Katie, let's do this question and then wrap it up with kind of a final one. So the next question is, when we pray for something for a long time, we often just repeat ourselves. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's good. I'm actually going to just answer this question with my testimony. We're just going to do it all in one big story here. So for context, I lost my mom to breast cancer about 4 years ago. And it was a 2-year battle. It was a long journey. And in complete transparency, the minute she was diagnosed, I did not have any hope for healing. I had not gotten to that place in my journey with the Lord where I had even seen people be healed, that I even believed that that power could even happen for my family. And so a lot of my prayers were more around, you know, I don't want this to be painful. I don't want this to be drawn out. You know, I was asking for a lot of mercy and a lot of grace and, not a lot of healing. And so about a year ago, a friend of ours was diagnosed with cancer, and we, like, that night, or at least that weekend, some of the leaders in the community put together this massive prayer vigil. I mean, it felt like hundreds of people. I think it was probably close to 200, but I mean, we packed out this little inner city church and we were praying and crying and singing, and it was the most beautiful thing I had ever been a part of. But we kind of opened the time with this song, Too Good to Not Believe. I think Brandon Lake or Elevation Worship writes that. And I love the song. But in the context of this really heartbreaking situation, I mean, this is the mom of some of my best friends, and she's like a mom to me. And I was weeping and comforting my friend. And, you know, I leaned over to my husband and I said, it's really hard for me to pray for a miracle that I didn't get to see in my own story. I didn't get to see my mom healed by cancer. I'm not even sure it can happen. And yet here I am claiming to believe in Jehovah Jireh, claiming to believe in Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I just felt kind of hypocritical. I felt really confused. I felt it was just a lot. It was a lot. And so in the midst of this, her husband was also battling cancer. And one of their daughters and sons-in-law were really just praying for a child. So this family was going through a lot. And they're an intimate part of our lives, part of our small group, part of our house church. We love them dearly. And so for the past year, we've just been praying. I mean, just anytime we're together, we're praying for healing. We're praying for God to open her womb. We're praying just week after week, day after day. And I kind of got to this place in my own life where I know he can. I know God can. And that doesn't mean that he will, and I will trust him regardless. He is good regardless. But I know he's able, you know? So that tension of God can, but he doesn't always do it. He's able, but it might not be the time. And so fast forward to the past couple of weeks, God has been working a miracle in this family. And just last week, and he didn't have to do this, but he did. It was awesome. Just last week, the mom found out she doesn't have to continue cancer treatments. The dad found out he also doesn't have to continue cancer treatments.
Whoa.
And their daughter and son-in-law found out that they are expecting their first baby to be born.
Come on.
And that's after long journeys, you know, in the cancer world of treatments and surgeries and question marks, and with our friend, you know, who's been praying for a child that involved a lot of other pieces too, and loss was in there as well. And even in the midst of the loss, even in the midst of the moments where the scans came back scary, you know, I just was anchored in this fact that, you know what, God cares about what's on my heart. He cares about what we're praying about. And you know what? This story could have turned out so much more, so much differently, right? You know, the cancer could have won and my friends could have been barren forever. And God still would have been good, and he still would have been able, and he still would have been healer. And all of this still would have been true. But in his goodness and healerness and in his power, he just chose to do it this way. I had a friend ask me a couple weeks ago, she was like, I feel like we say that God's so faithful when he answers things the way that we want him to.
Ooh.
And when things don't turn out the way we want him to, you know, we want him to, we'll often say, you know, God knows best, or it was his will, but we never say that he's faithful. But man, like when my mom passed away, I couldn't help but say that he was faithful.
Wow.
And maybe one day I'll share that story more in depth too, but you know, maybe the Lord gave me this confidence in knowing that my mom was going to pass. And so that was just part of my journey and part of a gift that he gave me. But I really feel like the gift out of this story, walking alongside my friends, was one, I got to see that my own story wasn't wasted. But two, I got to see in the front row the power of persistent, faith-filled group prayer in Jesus' name with ultimate power.
Wow, Katie, that's amazing. Yeah, just thank you for sharing that. That's so rich. Let's land the plane with a verse of scripture, since we're all about the word, but it's connected with her testimony. So Psalm 116:1-2 is something that I go to especially when I don't feel like anything is happening when I'm praying. And NIV says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And there's another translation that says, he bent his ear to me. And that imagery sometimes has kept me steadfast in prayer for things that I have been contending for about 8-9 years now that I haven't seen happen. So I'm really thankful for the word of God and just how that's illustrated in what you shared. So we just want to celebrate, you know, that with you, and just thanks for sharing that. So yeah, thanks for sending in your questions, guys. It was really fun to hear what you guys are asking. And like Katie said, we're no experts, but we love Jesus and hope that this discussion was helpful. So we'll see you guys next week.